वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाश्रक्य चक्षुर्मिलितानि येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोवेष्टम् स्थापिताम् येन भूतले स्वयम् रूपा कदा वयम् सापदान्तिकम् जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे
What time does the lecture go on to?
6:15.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we're very happy to be here with the wonderful devotees of the Rukmini Dwarkadesh Yatra. Prabhupada established the first ISKCON temple in New York. As you know, Prabhupada had a mandate from his spiritual master to take the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the western countries. And after a long struggle, Prabhupada was able to establish the first temple in New York. And then Prabhupada introduced the Sunday program. In those days, this program used to be known as the Sunday Love Feast. And Prabhupada started the Sunday program, and he gave this program a lot of importance. Prabhupada personally would cook the recipes, and gradually the program got developed. And the real purpose of this program was to give everyone an opportunity to come and associate with saintly-minded people. In the scriptures it is said, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastakaya, Dhamma Mata Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhikaya. The other one is fortunate enough to get association of a saintly personality. For even Lava Matra is described to be equal to 1/14 of 1 second. I don't think any of you have a watch that measures 1/14 of 1 second. So if you get spiritual association, even for a fraction of a moment, you can be inspired to develop your spiritual life. So most of you do jobs, businesses, studies, run homes. But the Sunday program affords you an opportunity to come to the temple and be reminded about what's the real goal of life. And the society in which we operate, doesn't matter which part of the world you reside in, maybe residing in India, America, there's not much difference these days because Maya is strong everywhere. There was a time when there was a big lag between Maya's influence in certain countries like India and the West. But now, thanks to technology, the difference has narrowed, and there's almost no difference. Anything that's invented today becomes known all over the world. So, all week, we operate in an environment in which we are made to forget the Lord, am I right? And therefore, it's very essential that we take advantage of the spiritual association and the opportunity that we have to have the spiritual association. This is highly recommended in the scriptures. In the scriptures you read about the story of a hunter. This hunter used to get pleasure in half-killing animals, seeing them suffer, and then when they would die, He would sell the flesh. This was his means of livelihood. But then, now the money happened to be passing by once, who saw all these half-killed animals. And upon inquiring who was the cause, the hunter showed up. And then when Narada Muni's association, he got so purified that he would not even place his feet on the ground till he made sure that there was no entity on the ground. This was the result of spiritual association. Srila Prabhupada came to the West, gave his association, and inspired people all over the world to adopt the spiritual path or an auspicious path based on the scriptures. So Krishna consciousness is presenting a very ancient philosophy. This is not something new. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us the information about the history of the Bhagavad Gita. If you were to ask an ordinary person, how old is this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita? If he's a little knowledgeable, he'll probably say 5,000 years. But in the fourth chapter, Krishna says, he imparted this knowledge to the sun god, Vivaswan, from whom the knowledge came down to Manu, the father of mankind. The English word man is derived from the word Manu. And then the knowledge came down to a king called King Ikshvaku, who ruled on this planet at the commencement of Treta Yuga. Treta Yuga was about 2 million years ago. And the knowledge gradually got lost and was retold by the Lord to Arjuna. Because Arjuna possessed two important qualifications. Actually, if you probe deep, you will see that Arjuna was a householder. He wasn't in the brahmachari or sannyas ashram, but he had two principal qualifications. He was a friend and devotee of the Lord. Therefore, as the Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita, he could understand the transcendental secrets of this great science. So actually, this is a great science. When we use the word science, normally people think physics, chemistry, or something related to that. But it's a great science, the science of self-realization, or the science by which we can progress spiritually. So, this knowledge is very essential if we want to perfect a human existence. In this ninth chapter, Krishna declares, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam, this knowledge is the king of education. So by spiritual association, we get the opportunity to receive knowledge. There's a very nice book called Sri Upadesharamrita. This book has been presented under the title of Nectar of Instruction, and it was presented by a great sage called Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami at one time was running the most powerful opulent kingdom on the planet, along with his brother. And then they gave up this assignment, and on the advice of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came to Vrindavan, where they constructed temples, installed deities, and wrote volumes of literature presenting the summary of the Vedic conclusions. In fact, the literature left behind by the Goswamis of Vrindavan is so vast, probably just after the work of Vyasadeva. So this book, Sri Upadesharamrita, only has 11 verses, but each of the 11 verses is very significant. So Rupa Goswami talks about six types of rasas amongst devotees. We are all devotees. Some may be more surrendered, some may be less surrendered, but nevertheless, anybody who comes to this temple, anybody who comes to the Sunday program, anyone who comes to the festival could be classified as a devotee. Of course, the different stages of devotion, just like in a medical school, you could say that all the students studying there are preparing to be doctors, but still, you may have someone in the first year, second year, some doing internal residency, and so on. So similarly, the very fact that you come here, people come to Krishna due to different reasons. In the early days of our movement, many people would come just because they love the Sunday feast. And it's our experience all over the world, even in India, that at the lecture time you may have 600-700 people, and prasadam time you'll have double. So this is pretty much a universal phenomena. So I wouldn't be surprised if it holds true in Los Angeles also. Does it hold true in Los Angeles also? Yeah. So anyway, so people come due to various reasons. Krishna says in the 7th chapter of the Gita, people come to meet you to 4 reasons. One is who wants wealth. The other is one who is inquisitive. The third is a genuine seeker of knowledge. And the fourth is one who is in distress. But Krishna says, doesn't matter what the reason is, at least come to me. And if you come to me, whichever your motives are, you'll get purified. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you read the story of a king called King Uttanapada. He was a king who had 2 wives. One was called Suniti, and the other was called Surichi. And through these 2 wives, he had 2 sons. Suniti had a son called Dhruva, and Surichi had a son called Uttama. So, one day, Dhruva saw that his co-brother, Uttama, was sitting on the father's lap, and he tried to sit on his father's lap also. His stepmother, Surichi, was very envious of him. She could not tolerate the king giving him any sympathy. So as a young child, trying to sit on his father's lap, the stepmother pulled him down and said, "You can't sit on your father's lap. You haven't taken birth from my womb. First, you should have the mercy of the Lord. And then when you take birth from my womb, then you'll be eligible to sit on your father's lap." In other words, what she was suggesting is, first you die, and then take your birth again from my womb, and then you'll be able to sit on your father's lap. Now, in a normal situation, the king should have protested. The king should have said, "Oh, he's also my son. Let him sit." But it appears that the king was, using modern language, henpecked. So the king was too attached to Surichi. So he just kept quiet. He didn't say anything. As a result, the boy felt greatly offended, sobbing. He went to his mother. In the meantime, the palace workers had also heard the harsh word that Surichi had spoken. And they had already informed his mother how your son got insulted by Surichi. So the boy came crying. The boy was very sad. He was a young boy, only 5 years old. Still, he had royal blood. So he felt very offended. And he said, "Is there anyone who can help me?" And she said, "I've heard that God can help you." Of course, God can help everyone. "And where can God be found?" "In the jungle, Madhuvan." Vrindavan at one time was a place full of forests, isn't it? Vrindavan. All, it was just forest. But today, if you go to Vrindavan, what do you see? The opposite. The forests are all gone. All you see is a concrete jungle. And if you go to Radha, if you go to Govardhan, you even find a golf course there now. Some enterprising builder has built a golf course. Vrindavan is a place where you go to for practicing renunciation, not to play golf. But unfortunately, civilization today has got so degraded that they've lost any concern for values. So anyway, he went to Madhuvan. He was preparing to go to Madhuvan. And as he was preparing to go, the sage Narada appeared on the scene. Narada is also known as Trikalagya, one who knows past, present and future. So Narada Muni wanted to test the boy. Just like in our Krishna conscious movement, if somebody wants initiation, he's tested. He has to go through a certain training program during which the candidate is observed to see if he's fit or not. So now the Muni wanted to see how serious is this candidate. So he said, young boy, you should not be offended by the words of your stepmother. She was just joking, you're a young kid, go and play. This is not the age to look for God. Of course, some of us believe that it's never the time to look for God. Dhruva was, of course, 5 years old. But today you live in a society, and I personally witnessed it, that even if a 60, 70-year-old man wants to come and chant and become God conscious, what do his relatives say? So early? Is this the time to look for God? Now's the time for you to babysit your grandchildren. You know, they first babysit their own children, and then now's the time to babysit your grandchildren. Okay, so when is the time to look for God? When should be appropriate time? When you're half blind, half deaf, lame, you have Parkinson's disease, no one wants to be next to you. That's the time to look for God. So that is the selfish viewpoint. You turn to God when you have nothing else to do and no one wants anything of you. There's a story. There was once a very miserly man. The miserly man would never offer anything to the Lord. He thought he should keep everything. So he was preparing an offering. And as he was about to eat, strong wind came and blew the offering off his plate. And as the offering was being blown off his plate, he said, Govinda, take this as an offering. So the point is, he wasn't going to offer. But since it was being blown off by a strong wind, he said, Govinda, it's for you now, take it. They call this Govinda Bhog. So the point is, so Narada Muni saw this boy was very determined. The boy said, listen, if you want to tell me how I can find God, I'll talk to you. And if you can't tell, if you don't want to tell me that, then leave me alone. So now when he saw the boy is really serious, then he went to look for God. He went to look for God with a motive. His motive was to obtain a kingdom more opulent than that of his father, grandfather, great-grandfather. But in the end, as a result of his austerities, he was able to see the personal form of the Lord, which gave him immense pleasure. So the point is, we may approach the Lord for different motives, but the ultimately, doesn't matter what the motive is, you get purified. So we should so mold our lives that we can also serve the Lord along with our normal duties. So we are referring to Rupa Goswami's presentation of Sri Upadeshwarmith, in which he says that there should be 6 types of loving exchanges between devotees. It's a very famous verse, Dadadi Pradagrandi Guhyamakati Prajati Munakti Vodata Cheva. So that what are the 6 types of rasas amongst devotees? Give charity, accept charity, reveal your heart, reveal your mind, take instructions, serve prasad, and accept prasad. So Prabhupada was commenting on this verse, and Prabhupada said, this Krishna conscious movement is formed to facilitate these 6 exchanges amongst devotees. Just like, for example, all of you come to the temple every Sunday, and then in exchange, you obtain some wisdom. Doesn't matter who the speaker is, he's going to give you some words of wisdom. So you reel your mind and you get some instructions. Then you give charity and in turn you get knowledge. Then we serve prasad. So the point is, by associating with devotees, we learn about the higher values of life. And therefore, it is highly recommended that we associate with devotees. Spiritual life is not as difficult as we think that it is. And thanks to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spiritual life has become extremely easy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us 5 points that anyone can practice in any situation. The first instruction he gave was to chant the holy names of the Lord. Sometimes we get accused, why do people just emphasize the Hare Krishna mantra? My guru is so liberal, he said you can take any mantra, no problem. You people who are fanatics only chant Hare Krishna mantra. So why is it that we concentrate only on the Hare Krishna mantra? First of all, we should understand what a mantra means. Mantra means a chant that can give you peace of mind. Now, there are many mantras, no question, but the Hare Krishna mantra is classified as the Maha mantra. Maha mantra means the principal chant for deliverance. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about the dialogue between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj was the emperor of the world who was cursed to die at the end of a 7-day period. He took advantage of this. Normally, if we get information, you have a terminal disease, you're going to die in 7 days, we get panicky, isn't it? We get panicky, we write a will, we call the lawyers, we make all the arrangements. But Parikshit Maharaj received this curse, and if he wanted to, he could easily have counteracted the curse. But he took this as an opportunity to retire from the world, and he prepared for his departure in a very auspicious manner. He invited all the great sages present and presented a very simple question, a question that each of us should be presenting to ourselves. And what was the question? What should one do who is about to die? And realistically, each one of us will have to leave the body today or tomorrow. It's just a matter of time. We may buy insurance, we may buy everything, but no one's going to guarantee you're not going to leave beyond a certain time. Can anyone, any insurance policy guarantee you're not going to die till you're 80 years old? No. The scriptures say there's danger at every step. So, in the Bhagavatam you read that Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, how will people in Kali Yuga be saved? This is the nature of a devotee. He's very compassionate and he's concerned about the welfare of the entire society. For example, when you come to the temple, you may have observed the devotees are always anxious to talk to you, to inspire you to chant, practice spiritual life. They're always inspiring you to read these books, buy these books, help with the festivals, etc. Isn't it? Why? Because by engaging in spiritual activities, ultimately, we are the beneficiaries. The transcendentalists consider it their duty to engage everyone in service to the Lord. And if we engage, we are the fortunate souls. And if we don't engage, we are the unfortunate ones. So Parikshit Maharaj was concerned, how will people in Kali Yuga be saved? So Shukadeva Goswami responded by saying that in Kali Yuga is an ocean of vice. But there is one benediction in this age, and that is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And the Hare Krishna mantra has been declared as the Maha mantra. Recently we celebrated the disappearance day of a great sage, Thakur Bhakti Vinod. So in one of his offerings, known as Jeev Jago, he says, I have brought the medicine to cure you from the disease of illusion. Just like when you suffer from a disease, you take a medicine. So what is the disease that we are suffering from at the moment? Disease of illusion. What does illusion make you believe? Illusion makes you believe this body is your real identity. You know what's best for you. Don't listen to any sadhu shastra and just pursue the path of sense enjoyment. So he says, I have brought the medicine to cure you from the disease. So take this medicine. Chan, he says, this medicine is coming from where? It's coming from the spiritual world. Further he says, Rhe thako, vane thako, sada hari bole thako. It doesn't matter whether you are a householder or a brahmachari or a sannyasi. Please take to the chanting of the holy name. Generally we observe that when we are successful, young, when we have success, when we have opulence, we don't have time for God. Am I right? And it's unfortunate. And when we are in a position of difficulty, we may turn to God. So he says, whether you're in happiness or in distress, please take to the chanting of the holy name. And he goes on to say that this material body offers nothing but misery. And the holy name is our only real shelter. So there are innumerable compositions by great sages who have testified that this chanting of the holy name is our only real shelter, our only real asset, our only real asset that's going to travel with us eternally. So this chanting of the holy name is recommended, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, chant the holy name in any situation. Then study the books, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, ISKCON is also an educational institution. Sometimes people think ISKCON is just a religious institution where we ring some bells. No, we go beyond that. It's an educational institution where we systematically study the Vedic scriptures left behind by Vyasadeva and very kindly elaborated upon by the great sages and Srila Prabhupada. And by studying these books, we get knowledge. Today we are in a society where everyone's constantly trying to expand his knowledge. Am I right? Doesn't matter how professionally qualified you are, you have to keep reading professional journals in your trade, isn't it? If you're a chartered accountant, engineer, whatever, you have to keep up with the latest techniques, the latest technology, with the latest papers in your field of specialization. And if you don't, you're out of the business, you're out of the market. So we are always endeavoring to expand our mundane knowledge. But along with this, we should also expand our spiritual understanding. If we do not expand our spiritual understanding, or if we do not endeavor to cultivate spiritual knowledge, then that's considered tragic. There's a great poet who said, having obtained this human life and not having worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have been simply drinking poison uselessly. But society today is so degraded that when they're drinking poison, and you run up to them and say, please, please take this glass of nectar, give the poison away. They'll say, no, no, let me drink poison. But what do you know? Society today is so intoxicated that sometimes it requires a lot of effort to bring them to the right position. So we should make it a point to read the Bhagavatam and the Gita, and then spiritual association. We already emphasized this point earlier in our discussion, that how spiritual association is necessary for everyone. One can possibly get three different levels of association. This was explained by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. One is, you have the opportunity to associate with those who are more advanced than yourself. Two, you have the opportunity to associate with those who are equally advanced. Three, you have the opportunity to associate with those who are less advanced. Now, how do we deal in these different situations? When you have the opportunity to associate with someone who is more advanced than you, you should be respectful and joyful. Why? Because you're going to get some knowledge that's going to help you achieve the goal of life. When you meet somebody equally advanced, we should make friendship. Then what does friendship mean? Friendship doesn't mean I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Normally people think friendship means you help me to get intoxicated and I help you to get intoxicated. But friendship in spiritual language means that you help each other to progress spiritually. You try to inspire each other to progress spiritually. You serve together. There's so many temples where our congregation members serve together and preach, distribute books, organize festivals, so on. And when you meet somebody less advanced, you should display compassion. Compassion means educating them about higher values of life through book distribution, personal counseling, etc. So, Narada Muni explains how we should associate with different levels of devotees. So this spiritual association is a must. You all should make it a point to come every Sunday. How many of you come every Sunday to the temple without fail? Small percentage. Actually, each of you sitting here should make it a point that Sunday I have to go and have darshan of their lordship, Sri Rukmini Swami. And try and bring a friend of yours also. So, by spiritual association, regular association, there's a good chance that we will remain on the right track. And then, Lord Chaitanya also recommended worshipping the Lord as Archa Vigraha. The Lord is so kind, He manifests in His deity form. He manifests in His deity form and gives us all an opportunity to engage in service. Those who are Brahminically initiated, they have the privilege to cook for the deities, dress the deities, offer aartis. But even those who are not Brahminically initiated, or even those who are not initiated at all, they have the opportunity to serve the Lord. They can bring flowers for the Lord, gifts for the Lord. They come down and bow down before the Lord. When you bow down before the Lord, you beg the Lord for His mercy to help you advance spiritually. You sing for the Lord, dance for the Lord, clap for the Lord. So by engaging in these very simple activities, we can move forward towards perfection. And that is what human life should be used for. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was hesitant in participating in the battle and doing his duty as a kshatriya. But the Lord told him, with your mind and intelligence dedicated to me, tasmat sarvesu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhacha, you must fight. So with the mind and intelligence dedicated to the Lord, we can perform our normal duties and at the same time practice Krishna consciousness. We can see that material life is full of miseries. You can have the best of technology, the best of facilities, still no one can escape the sevenfold miseries of life, can they? Can anyone avoid death? In Treta Yuga, you had the facility to choose your moment of death. In Satya Yuga, people had that facility. And they were so advanced, after a certain period, living 100,000 years or 10,000 years, they would voluntarily give up their bodies. If this facility was given to the present day civilization, would anyone ever give up? The funeral homes would go bankrupt. Because no one would ever give up. But you may not want death, but death comes. Old age, disease, they have these anti-aging shops. You know, anti-aging shops are a common phenomenon in North America now. They have these anti-aging shops to hide the appearance of old age. But how long can you hide it? You can keep dyeing your hair. You can keep doing plastic surgery every 6 months. You can keep doing all the makeup you want. But how long? You can't hide it for long. Old age eventually will catch up. Then the mind troubles us, other living entities trouble us, and material nature troubles us. Just like you see all over the world now, material nature is playing havoc. So many parts of the world have heavy drought. Australia, the whole country is in drought. many parts of America are in drought. Sometimes there are floods, tsunami, disasters. So we can see that the miseries of life are just increasing. And what is the cure? The cure is a spiritual cure. America is getting ready for presidential election. You have the Democrats putting up their candidate, Republicans putting up their candidate. And people think, oh, if we elect A, then there'll be a change, or you elect B, there'll be a change. But does the real change it requires change of consciousness? We need to purify our consciousness. We need to come to the realization that I am the eternal servitor of God, Jivira Sarupaya Krishna Nitya Das. And unless I engage in service to the Lord, I will not be happy. So a humble request to those of you who are here today. Of course, this is a long weekend, so we knew a lot of people would be out of town. But all of you have come. This shows that all of you are very sincere and desirous of pursuing spiritual life. Many times we see when the weather is very good, everyone's off to the beaches. When it's a long weekend, out of town. But thanks to high gas prices, less people are going out of town. Maybe the gas prices should move up a little bit more. Okay. So, but you all have come here, even though the weather is nice and everything's nice, because you have a genuine interest in spiritual life. Now we should make sure that we fan this interest, just like you have a spark. And then if you fan it, the flames get higher. So we need to fan this desire. And spiritual association is very helpful in fanning this desire. So our humble plea is, please pursue spiritual life very seriously. Many times we think, we will pursue. Yes, I will follow. But we keep postponing it. What do we say? Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And sometimes before tomorrow comes, what happens? Something else comes. So we should always be ready. And when something is auspicious, why should you give it up, isn't it? If you have an opportunity to make a good investment that's going to give you a big profit, are you going to say, I'll do it tomorrow? No. When you have pain in the body, when you have severe pain, unbearable pain, you tell the doctor, give me a pain reliever, isn't it? Do you tell him, please relieve my pain slowly, slowly? No. You say, please relieve my pain ASAP, as soon as possible, isn't it? When you're hungry, do you want a morsel of bread or chapati every 2-3 hours? Yeah?
No.
When you're thirsty, would you be satisfied if we gave you a drop of water every few hours?
No.
You want a whole glass. You want a few gallons of water. So the point is, similarly, our approach to spiritual life should also be similar. We want to advance as soon, as fast as we can. You drive on the highway, you have a speed limit, isn't it? 65 miles or whatever. But there's no speed limit at your desire to advance spiritually. You can move fast if you really want to. And in the association of devotees, you will be able to cultivate this desire. So please take to this process. And if you take to this process, you'll be happy and totally satisfied. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. When you chant the holy names of the Lord, it results in happiness. So the various ways of all of you can also engage in practical service. You know, Prabhupada used to say that if you're sick, to recover, you need the medicine and the diet. Have you heard that before? The medicine is chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavatam, following sadhana bhakti. And what is the diet? What's the diet?
Service!
Practical service. Of course, prasad is also the diet. But the real diet is practical service. So sometimes people say, how can I render service? I'm a householder, I have family, I have business, I work 5 days a week. And now it's one thing good with high petrol prices, they're moving up to 4 days a week in many places. So you'll have more time. So how can I engage in devotional service? So all over the world we've seen that our congregational devotees, by congregational devotees we mean devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness at home. So our congregational devotees are very anxious to serve and in the temple. And another program which is working very successfully in many parts of America, including a city not far from Los Angeles, San Jose, is this program of Weekend Warriors. That is a program in which congregational devotees take part once a month on a Saturday to distribute these transcendental books. I know that many of you, or some of you, are already doing that, but due to the efforts of Vaishya Shekhar Prabhu and others, this program has picked up a lot of momentum in America. And this afternoon, we had another program in which several congregational devotees were there, and many of them volunteered. We want to also get the mercy of the Lord. Is there anyone here who doesn't want to get Lord's mercy? Is there anyone here who doesn't want to become dear to Krishna? I think all of you do want to become dear, isn't it? So this is a very nice program. The Lord says in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, of all types of devotees, the dearmost devotee is one who preaches my glories. Because you make people aware about the real goal of life. So Prabhupada emphasized distribution of books, distributing these books as a service. And he said, as long as book distribution goes on, I'll never die. That means when you hand a book, you're giving Prabhupada and the great acharyas an opportunity to enlighten the person who gets this book as to what is the goal of life. So that's a very nice program in which many of you can take part in it. And as I said, already we are seeing the congregational devotees all over America are taking part in this and thereby making spiritual advancement. So I was told that Savas Prabhu, our temple president, and Vijay Das, a book distribution minister, are also pushing this program here, isn't it? It started already? Or going to? It's a good program? How many of you would like to take part in this program? You know, did you realize when your hands were up, the camera was... So later, if you say, oh, I never had my hands up, we'll have to replay the video. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yeah. Well, you told me 6 o'clock, so I went fast track. Any questions? Everyone's already up. Wrap up now? Huh? Well, you told me 6 o'clock, so I... People are already up now. You only have a lecture only for half an hour? A lecture only for 40 minutes?
Yeah, we usually go 40 minutes.
That's all?
Yeah.
You see, what happened was, as soon as everybody clapped, and that's the cue.
No, but I could have gone on, but he told me 6, so I went on.
I don't want to
stretch it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Yeah.